Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. Heavenly hash is what we have in store for you today. That's food. It's nutrition for your spirit, for those who are in Christ. Real Christians. A chaotic and tumultuous times we find ourselves in today, from the happenings in the Middle East to cities across this country, riotous, wicked, evildoers, one might be allowed to worry or fret, but today we want to feed you with the Word of God. That on which we stand, that word wherein we have put our trust, and the one who spoke his promises, do we lean on, rely on, and run to for God is our help. And as Psalm, I believe it's 110, says, our help cometh from the Lord. I'm talking to people of faith. That's not a whimsical, whistling in the dark kind of faith, but one that grabs hold of the Word of God and stays there. We're going to look at many promises of God, and as we've said hundreds and hundreds of times at thegodschool.com, faith is acting on the promises of God as though His Word is more real, because it is, than that which we confront, which we see, circumstance which seems to deny God's promises. But His Word is forever settled in heaven. And this food today, this heavenly hash, is for eternal purposes, to which God has called them which belong to Him. Now, so we start off in something very familiar. Psalm 37, three times in the first 8 verses, it says, fret not. I love the first one. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass. Boy, are we seeing that? I love it, Lord. Thank you very much. Trust in the Lord, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's what we're trying to do today, is feed on the Word of God. We're not teaching on Psalm 37 today. But we can go to it. Several promises here, and the Lord forsaketh not his saints, those who have committed themselves unto him. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways. Faith, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see him. Woo! All over the world, we're seeing some of that happen today. I love that. God is faithful. This is not the fulfillment of all that he has in mind, but it's an enjoyable beginning. About to leave Psalm 37, it says, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they obey all the Ten Commandments or the other 613 laws found in the Pentateuch? No! Because they lead a righteous life. No! Because they've recovered from drug addiction or alcohol addiction. Because they gave up cussing. No! Because they trust in him. Because they faith in him. Psalm 91, verse 2. And I'm not, again, we're giving promises of God. Food, grab hold. Chew on them for a while. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. And as we go into the psalm, God speaks to that man who has made that statement. There are many other promises that precede this, but listen to this. And I'm going to give you the best translation I can. King James says, because he has set his love upon me. No, because he clings unto me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. How often have we implored you to use and understand this name of God, which Jesus gave us, Father. Because he has known, has intimate knowledge and an intimate relationship with God, our Father. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. Well, wait a minute. I thought Christians never got in trouble. They're so sweet. Who would ever want... I'm being ludicrous. But so are so many who purport to represent God today. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? We're going to get to that in a bit. The word there, the Hebrew word there being translated salvation, Yeshua. Jesus. I'm going to the third psalm. This is a psalm that was written by David when he was fleeing from his own beloved son, Absalom. He says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. This word trouble, it's a word confining, like narrowing, binding, like tying you up. Many are they that rise up against me. It's a preparatory activity. It's one, this word that those who are rising up against David, they're looking out for a victory with the intent of victory. Many, which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Whew. But thou art Lord. Our King James says, art a shield for me. No, are a shield about me. God is our shield. Front, behind, above, below, side to side. God is our shield. Our glory and the lifter up of our head. The word being translated shield here is, in the Hebrew, is ganan. It's a word only used of God. Says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah, think on that, sit on that for a while. Sons and daughters of God our Father, I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. That translation, it's the better translation is, the Lord sustains me. Not a one-time deal. Continual. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise! Same word as in verse 1. Speaking to God, that one who's put his trust in God, looking for victory, arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. I love it. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly, salvation, listen, belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Psalm 4, verse 3, but know that the Lord has set him apart, or her, that is godly, for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. You say, well, that leaves me out, you know, Don, it says the godly. No, the word has to do with commitment. If you've committed yourself to God, be of good courage, for he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I hope some of these promises, the word of God, causes you to continue in courage and in confidence in God. These appear to be troubling times, but they're, you know, it says the worst of times and the best of times. Worst of times, we have this opportunity to run to our Father as a refuge and fortress, our God, in whom we can and do, will trust. You know, this all started as I continued to study in the preceding weeks in this wonderful letter of Paul to the Hebrews. These were men and women who had converted to Christianity, had taken up the shield of faith, whose life seemed to be, not seemed to be, was crumbling about them. And the result was they were thinking about returning back to the old way, to the law, because this life of faith just brought a lot of trouble into the then known times. Paul saying, don't turn back. Don't turn back. In the ninth chapter of the, or excuse me, yes, in the ninth chapter of Hebrews, the 15th verse says, well, let's go to the 14th. Let's go to the 13th verse. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, shall the life of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, without fault, purge your conscience from dead works. Stop looking at what you have done, are doing, or will do, and look what God has done. purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, the living, our living Father. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption, for the full payment of transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Well, yeah, but Don, you know, I read the Bible. I read this Hebrews letter, and I read that last verse of the 11th chapter, that chapter that the only place in all of Scripture where God has something good to say about man, and every one that he comments on, the common denominator is faith. And yet, it 38th verse says, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What was that promise? It is that promise of eternal inheritance. We have this hope. God does exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things he does take delight. But this promise of eternal inheritance is to those whom God has chose for himself in Christ Jesus to be sons and daughters of God our Father and our brother, Jesus Christ. Now, the eternal inheritance comes when we're in eternity. We have the hope of the shield, of the help, of the deliverance from the wicked, of the shield of God about us. We have this historical testimony of God's faithfulness. You know, in this offensive that the state of Israel, the country of Israel, has taken against Iran, they pulled a verse where it says, it's 23rd chapter of Numbers, 24th verse, it says, behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion. That's their encouragement. That's their promise of God, that they're acting upon. But let's give it a little more context. Balaam, an heathen priest, you know, not a Jew, not part of the people of Israel, who's called to curse by his king, the people of Israel, and he makes this declaration that for 18 years the God school has been proclaiming, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, or that is, change his mind. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? When God speaks, it is. Whether we see it or not, it is. He goes on to say, behold, I've received a commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He was called to curse Israel. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Do you hear this? Jacob, heel catcher, Israel, the men. But God says he's not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Israel. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. That is, he can't bring on some kind of curse. Neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift himself up as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat the prey and drink the blood of the slain. Now that's pretty harsh. And as a teacher of God's word, I want you to understand, in the state of Israel today are inhabitants of the tribe of Judah. But this promise of God is to the descendants of Jacob, to Israel. And I heard even today that Israel is supported by Israel, the tribe of Judah, is supported by the leaders of Great Britain and the United States, those descendants of the other 12 tribes of Israel, the literal descendants. And if you want to hear more about that, you're welcome to come to thegodschool.com and look up the second greatest story ever told. An adventure into God's word and the history that he wrote before it happened. God is in control, folks. Our Father. hears our prayers. And we, as children, have confidence in his faithfulness that he does what he says, and we shall continue on in this journey of faith by God's grace and his gift of faith. And that's the God School for today.